on the Job 26:10 deal, where he has inscribed a circle on the surface of the waters. That doesn't refer to the equator. There's no inscription there. Oh, equator. Equator on a ball cuts across water. There is an equator. There's a halfway distance between the north and the south. There's that. But there's no inscription there. And in any case, to inscribe something, I think you know what it means to inscribe something, don't you? It means to make a definitive mark on something. To inscribe, in this case, on a circular inscription. It is something that is visible and noticeable, whatever it is, whatever the inscription is, to inscribe. So the language of inscribing a circle on the surface of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness, that the mystery of Antarctica, the most mysterious continent, do some research on it. Go back and watch the old interviews on black and white TV with Admiral Byrd. I went down there. Took a series of trips. He was a highly decorated admiral, United States Navy. As an aside, he went down there and founded a lodge, 777. But in that interview, it's because they're Masons. Got to throw all this in. You know, people buy all the astronauts, Masons. Mason rings, Mason symbols. Are you going to trust that mess? That's what they do, deceive. They have this old goody-goody front, you know. So those people, it's what it is. NASA. Is that accident or was it intentional to call it those four letters? There are two Hebrew words, NASA. One of them uses the somic S and a different A, which there's not pronounceable, I-N. Uses the same first letter, noon, N. And that NASA, its first occurrence, comes out of the mouth of Eve. And here she is, you know, she's fallen from sinlessness, and she's in that fallen state. But she does say something correct when she's being queried by the Lord, called on the carpet, so to speak. In other words, they all had to give an account. Adam and Eve had to give an account. She said, "The serpent deceived me." That is a true statement. He did. How did she know the word deceive at that early stage in her life? I thought about that. Because they didn't have a history where people were deceiving people and things were running around like they were. How did that woman know that? Because she was taught by the Lord during those years prior to the fall. Any good teacher, and he taught them in the garden, right? Every day they had Bible class. He appeared to them in the evening. Towards evening. And he communicated information. He didn't stick them out here on the earth as blank slates. But he expected them like we do. Yes, they were adults. Yes, they were able to operate as adults. They had downloaded a full-blown vocabulary. But they didn't know the spiritual side of stuff. They had to learn it. In innocence, as they call it. And any good teacher that's worth anything, who is over people and communicating spiritual information, provides them with information so they won't be deceived. And if they are deceived, he'll help them to get out of it. Like we all were, in a lot of different ways. I just thought of that. I was thinking, she uses this word. She's got vocabulary. She says, the serpent beguiled. I think that's one translation, which is the same thing. She's honest. But she uses the word. Now the other NASA word in the Hebrew uses the shin for the S and the aleph at the end of it, but and the first letter is the Hebrew in noon. And it means to lift up. And I'll take either one of them for NASA. They lift themselves up above the knowledge of God. And have constructed this whole artifice of lies about the universe and the solar system. With our Earth running around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. The North Star just keeps right up with us, doesn't it? And all the constellations are running that speed too, because they don't change, you know, give us a day or two or three. I know, if you're like me, you never, ever question this stuff to any extent. You just bought it, took it in, like a person raised in a Catholic home. You just sucked it all in. Mataiotes, the opening of the vacuum. What you didn't, you aren't to be blamed because the system deceived you. The minute you walked into your first classroom and saw this little globe sitting over in the corner, you weren't given any options. Well, some people think it's flat, and here's the flat one. We'll have a discussion here, and we'll see the pros and cons. The only pro I can give for the spinning earth is so many people believe it. That gets us nowhere with spiritual information. If we're basing things on consensus, all mankind is stupid and devoid of knowledge. When you understand that Satan had to attack the creation story with fake science, when you understand that, he attacks the rest of the Bible with fake religion, obviously, but some people, the religion isn't going to get them. They got to be hooked by science. They're science guys. There's one believer in my church. I'm a scientist. You probably guess who that is. When I was in the beginning of this and asking questions, because it's I'll help you in any way. You'll help me in any way as long as I defend the other view. I've got to look at both views open-minded. I wasn't brought here to just shut things down unless they're so obviously stupid in violation of Scripture. When I can't answer something, then I got to find an answer for it. And I'm not going to play games. I said, so how does an airplane adhere to the curve when it's flying, say, 500 miles an hour? How does it keep its nose right on that little curve so it doesn't just go right off? Gravity. Oh, gravity. Blessed gravity. Gravity solves everything, doesn't it? It grabs the nose, but it won't touch the tail. Isn't that ludicrous? Because there is no device on an airplane that causes them to keep, because they would constantly, if you're going over a hill, in this case, if you're flying over one, you'd have to keep attached to it. It's things like that deserve an answer, don't you think? Otherwise, we're just ideologues that believe a system, no matter how stupid it is. And like I said in the first class, here's a case. A person says, water cannot flow uphill on its own accord. You can shoot it uphill. God could do a miracle. But on a regular, everyday, natural law of things, water always seeks its lowest level. Every human being knows that. Everybody. Yet, we have the Nile running uphill. Go home and get your little globe out. If you haven't thrown the thing in the trash, get your little globe out, find the Nile River down here in Africa, read up on it online all you want to, and see how it goes all the way up the hill, across the so-called their equator, all the way, and dumps into the Med. How does it do that? It's impossible. Rivers follow the gradient. That's all they can do. They're water. That's why God created water. He made it that way. Thank God it doesn't flow uphill. It flows downhill. The rivers flow to the sea. From every angle, from every place on earth. Oh, this is a problem for you? It ought to be. it ought to be. So if you want to hold to the two opposite things, you're guilty of cognitive dissonance, holding two opposite ideas simultaneously in your brain as truth. That's cognitive dissonance. I like the term. I usually don't like psychological terms, but I like that one. I also like motivational viscosity. The unwillingness to change your mind when the facts stack up against you. That's motivational. Motivational points to you have a motivation. Damnable pride. Fear of ridicule and loss of friendships and associations. Loss of a church. I teach that. That was a scare tactic, not intentionally a scare tactic. When it starts to get out, you teach that, and you're going to lose your whole church. I mean, this is the kind of stuff, this is the angelic conflict coming down on my case. I said, it's better to lose my old church than lose my crown. So I cannot shrink back from any doctrine in the Bible to please people. This is what churches do, and this is why you get more people. We'll do this and this, but not that. And if that had been our history, we'd be just like all the other fundy churches out there, praising Jesus and jumping around and doing all the stuff they do, and giving out what would generally be accepted. Oh, don't touch the doctrine of separation. Don't do that one either. That's what makes for a truly, properly functioning doctrinal church. I knew before I ever even taught this, we weren't unified. People are going 9 different directions on things. I get little reports of things. I'm invited to a party. I expected some Maranatha people. We're going to have fellowship. They got strangers there. I'm not talking about your mother came in town. I'm talking outside social people. Really. We've been criticized for separation. How can you have fellowship unless you're on the same page? Oh, you can stand around, hug each other, and talk about love and things. But you break the bond of fellowship when you step outside the circle of truth. Now, if you didn't know the truth, that's one thing. You wouldn't be held accountable. People who didn't know this in the days past and they were otherwise positive, they didn't hear it, they're now right up there above us. They're not held for this. You can't be held for something you weren't taught by your pastor teacher, I don't think. But I thank God I'm not going up there and going, oops. I got the first chapter of Genesis screwed up. As well as a number of other things. See, I'm almost tempted to go back to my old mode when I first came here. But I've softened a little bit. I got rid of some of the theme rough edges. Take it or leave it. When I was in a church down there, you ought to heard that. And there's 1,200 people. He said, you know why we have so many doors on this church? So you can find your way out of here if you're not interested. They designed it like the Pentagon in D.C. It was shaped kind of like the U.S. Pentagon building. That's funny. I'm not espousing saying that. Hang in there. Suffer like hell. If that's what you're going to do. But this is the doctrine. It ought to be exciting. It ought to be refreshing. It ought to be wonderful to be delivered from all of this stuff. I mean, I think anyone would agree that the Genesis account of creation and restoration absolutely flies in the face of modern science, so-called. How can it not? So they can't back away from what they're doing. They're going to have to take it on the chin. They can't back away. There's too many reputations. There's salaries. There's prestige. Fleeting. But the truth's coming out. And I think this is the case. And those of you who are on board with me, I want you to pray that God will break this stuff down even before we're raptured. Because I know He sure as heck's going to do it after the rapture. He's going to shove them, the two witnesses, in their face. They can't get rid of them. They can't kill them. They can't bomb them. They can't send a rocket in. They can't send mercenaries or snipers. They can't get rid of them for 3 years and a half. And they're going to hit the ground, and they're going to hit it hard. And the press is going to have to report them. They can't do what they do with a lot of stuff out there. Let's just ignore that. Cover up. No, because these two men, Moses and Elijah, will call for environmental judgments. And they will hammer every place on this earth. Rivers will be polluted. Nile, blood, dam of Moses. Fire out of heaven. Whatever it takes. But they have a message too. Christ is coming back and he's the creator. And he didn't create a spinning ball. It's flat. With an ice wall around it and a dome over it. And he's not that far away from getting back here. With a royal family and a bunch of angels. You better believe. Yes, their focus is evangelization of the Jews. But they get that. See, they are called, one of the prophets, my two lampstands that I put before the whole earth. This is what the world deserves. They deserve it shoved in their face. And first of all, so that maybe some people can step free from the lake of fire and judgment. Grace always precedes judgment. But if you don't want to line up with it, judgment follows. Our world, and I don't need to tell you this, our world and our civilization in particular is so spinning out of control in so many ways, it should be no surprise that they put this fake astronomy on our heads. So we believe the Big Bang theory, the theory of evolution, the theory of relativity, Copernicanism, modified, brought down to the present, massaged, add all this stuff. There was life on Mars. Really? They say it all the time. There's water. We think there's water on the moon. The moon's a light in and of itself. It doesn't need anything or anyone else but God to put it there as a light. We'll have a point on this coming up. Somebody gave me this is documents technical measuring stuff. One was from the Soviet era. And they were good scientists, by the way. They were smart dudes. I mean, and the Russians are to this day. They are top-rate scientists. Well, I had another thing someone said to me. Well, everybody has a space. A lot of countries have a space program. I said, so what? They're all in on it. Haven't you read Psalm 2? The kings of the earth conspire against the Father and His Son. Psalm 2. It's a gentleman's agreement. I don't care if they fight each other, blow each other up. They agree on this stuff. It's a religion. Catholic Church has historically signed off on this. They were flat earthers. They signed off on this. And then down the road, they signed off on evolution. They got a big telescope they used to call Satan. They had to rename it. Yeah, big high-powered deal. But in this particular document, what if somebody came out and actually, what if you could run down information and find that they actually are, as in this Army Research Laboratory thing from 2001, that's recent enough, isn't it? And you know what it's entitled? There's a name for it here, approved for public release, distribution unlimited. Got it offline. I printed it up for me. Why would they say this in the title of it? Propagation of electromagnetic fields over a flat earth. That's what they say. In this, from the Russian era, they use the word firmament, near sun, flat earth, and firmament. On this page 20, the guy says, to be fair, page 20 states, derived on an assumption of a flat earth. The reason the word assumption has to be used is because there does not exist any evidence that the earth is anything but flat, thus the earth has to be flat, and they have to do all of their measurements and everything based on the assumption of a flat earth, because anything for flying airplanes, helicopters, whatever, it has to be based on this understanding. Because on a curved ball surface, everything would be different. Can a person not see that? And they had this one in this one that one of our church members brought to my attention and got published. NASA reference publication 1207, August 1988. None of that isn't that long ago, is it? And it's got all this math and everything in here about, but here's the summary of it. All we can handle is the summary. This report documents the derivation and definition of linear aircraft model for a rigid aircraft of constant mass flying over a flat, non-rotating Earth. We highlighted that. I thought it was over a spinning spherical Earth. And then it goes on with all this, and this is high math, and it's page after page. But that isn't the point. That isn't the point here. You play hell flying an airplane without the right kind of math, and the right kind of stuff going on. Like I said before. So anyway, we can't measure it because we can't get to the very edges of it and incorporate the dome and all that into it. Because the area between the ice wall and there was a movie where a guy was going around trying to get through this. He was angry and he was trying, and it was weird. And he was trying to get through this ice wall, but he couldn't. It all the way around and all the way to the edge, that's where you get between light and darkness. Because if there's a dome, as in Operation Fishbowl, perfect name for a military operation, Fishbowl. That's where they tried to punch a hole in it during the space race. They didn't succeed. Their stuff went all haywire when it got up so high. So this rebellion against God sitting on his throne is from the Tower of Babel forward, at least. They want to overthrow that throne. That's the mentality. The spirit of Satan is in these kind of people. They don't want to be bound by God's rules, God's order. They want to do it, and they want to set up their own world order and mess. And that's what we're seeing today. It's outworking on the earth with all this craziness that's going on. Did you ever think you have a day when transgender boys are going to play regular girls in soccer? The boys just beat the hell out of them. They didn't have a chance. Because they're boys wanting to be girls. And the educational system will actually go along with that in certain places? These people wouldn't stand a chance when I went to high school. You were gay, you didn't have a snowball's chance. And hell, I didn't know anybody that was until I got to college. I ran into a couple of them. Now it's everywhere. And you cannot, if you were the head of a big company, corporation, CEO, whatever, and you put out a text or any kind of little message that this stuff's wrong, you're fired. You're fired. It's amazing. I don't see how everybody can't see how close we are. I know we're really close. And Maranatha's feet have been put to the fire. No more casual nodding to God and nodding to doctrine. It's time to put your mouth, your actions where your mouth is. This is it. It's good to be right. You may feel beleaguered, and some of you walk around like I'm some kind of, I don't know, I'm the same guy I was before. I'm just teaching you a doctrine in the Bible. I'm teaching where we got all this stuff, when we got it. Oh, there's a lot of details I don't know about the specifics of the new model. Yeah. How high is the sun? What's its diameter? Blah, blah, its makeup. Whatever they know, they won't tell us because they can't let the cat out of the bag. So they got to keep up this myth and constantly keep it in front of us. See, this is going to set it up. So I don't know what all is going to come down, but you better have your armor on. And you better have this doctrine in your repertoire. Because you may need this worse than you think. Because now they're ramping up the rhetoric about UFOs, invasions from out there. This is a part of what, and then, you know, we have, of course, the rapture is going to occur, but what happened, what we're really concerned about primarily is what is in the days and years leading up to this final event. When they get desperate and God gives the demons more latitude, as if they didn't have a lot already, to manifest themselves in various ways. Because people want to believe in this stuff, so God turns them over. It's like after the flood, they wanted to believe that the heavenly bodies were inhabited by deities, and so they started worshiping these things. Well, that's old hat. Now we got a different system. That broke down. We got the age of reason, the enlightenment, with all of its wonderful trappings. Because man is a measure of himself, and he will determine things. Big arrogant trip. And the Bible's poo-hooed. The flood, you kidding me? Origin of Adam and Eve, you kidding me? And we got all this fancy science and all these and blessed by the universities everywhere. God's going to bring all this stuff down. And join with me in praying that God will continue in every way to expose these people and break this thing down. Why? Well, so his words have indicated, but so that people out there can get another chance to realize how bad it is. I can't get excited very much about a lot of this stuff in the cosmos anymore. Your people are going to hell. You're going to in the trib. You're going down, and you don't. You ought to be wanting the truth, but you will run all over the country to watch a ball game or something. See them, these maniacs screaming and yelling. What's wrong with them? Rah rah rah. It's gotten real thin. You ought to be in Bible class. That's where you ought to be. Yeah, but he's got a lot of talent. So what? What's that going to get him? Not going to get any talent. So in summation, the earth is flat. Yes, it's got topography. Lots of wonderful topography. If you like topography. Mountains, valleys, canyons, all of it. Stationary, circular. Over which the sun, moon, and stars along with the foundations and pillars, hanging in space, just beneath a water reservoir. That's weird. I mean, weird. How's that water being held up there? I don't know. It's up there. It's still up there. We have a psalm that says it's still up there. Praise God in the waters above. God is not praised in something that is non-existent. Because it's his handiwork. It's his engineering. He is both the architect and the builder in one. It's one thing to get a really nice drawing going. It's another thing to execute it. Hanging in space just beneath a water reservoir, and over it all is the throne room of God and all our loved ones and all the saints before us. They're only thousands of miles away, not millions of light years. That's great. That's comforting. And our Lord isn't way out there. This whole thing is designed to hide God any of these isms, scientism, placing your faith in a system of belief, whether it be evolution, whatever it may be, as over against the clear statements of the Word of God. This is where they got me hooked when the Bible went, and somebody said, well, people pressure you. Pressure is, there's different kinds. There's bullying and there's this and that. They gave me all the room I needed to take all the time I needed to get this sorted out. Yes, some people presented it to people and stirred them up here and they got all worked up. And I'm out here in a kind of, you know, I'm in the middle ground trying to figure this all out. But I was praying. I want to do right by the truth. I'm not here to win. However I care about a given person and like them and all that, that's not. I'm here to teach what the Bible says. And I was trained to do literal grammatical exegesis, not play funny games with stuff, recognizing there's figurative language, language of accommodation, and all that good stuff. But it can be misapplied. Like anything, you have to have a judicious approach with regard to it. But when you have no figurative language, when there's nothing figurative at all in the picture, if I refer to the sun, I'm not saying anything in a figurative way. I'm just referring to the sun. The light that dominates what we call daylight hours. And then I have a verse in the Bible that says it's moving. And I'm supposed to flip that, see. I'm supposed to flip it and make everybody happy and say, no, you know, it means the opposite of what it says. And some BS term, phenomenal illogical. I never found that in a hermeneutics book. But it's used only with regard to this in the Bible that I know of. They coined it just for this. It is a term that they got, and I don't know anywhere else that this is used in referring to anything. But this earth-sun relationship, I used it in the past. That's the worst thing. In my ministry, anything I came out of my mouth that pushed people in the wrong direction or kept them in that I don't like. But I can't change the past. I didn't walk up here with this information. I didn't even have a chance to consider it. I'm not blaming anybody, anything. It's just the way it was. Well, why did this have to wait so long? That's not an argument against his veracity, people. That's with God and how he works. I don't know. I could ask that until, you know, it fall over. It's not going to change anything. The fact is, it is what it is. And the sun is in constant motion over the surface of the earth. Except for a couple of occasions, a couple little events. But otherwise, it's always doing its thing. We'll pick that up Tuesday. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to get free of this evil. Be with us as individuals in this regard. In Christ's name, amen.